You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Wednesday, the 22nd of October, 2025. It's a day where the Australian share market fell to 9,030 points on the S&P ASX 200. That's a fall of 0.7%. We'll have the details with Scott Phillips from The Motley Fool in a few moments, who also has a warning for investors who have a fear of missing out, FOMO. We'll tell you why, because the gold price had its biggest one-day fall in 12 years overnight, down almost 7%. It is still up, however, 30% so far this year. To tell us more, I spoke with Cameron Gleeson, the senior investment strategist at BetaShares.
The sell-off that we saw in gold overnight was down around about 6%. A magnitude of that fall for an asset class like gold is very substantial. We're not talking about, you know, cryptocurrency like Bitcoin here. People rely on gold as a store of value, and that can be unsettling when you see that store of value fall away in price like that, though. Important to put it into context, though, we've had this sort of sparkling run throughout the year, gold at all-time highs. So it's not completely unsurprising to see a correction. The size of that correction perhaps caught some off guard.
Okay, what exactly triggered that sell-off specifically?
So if we look at the long-term drivers of what's been, you know, strong run in gold, we've had central bank buying, emerging market countries, central banks buying gold for a number of years now. But more recently, it has been investors coming to the party in 2025. We've seen strong inflows across gold products, including gold ETFs. And indeed, if we look at positioning overall, investors were quite overweight gold ETFs and other forms of gold investments. And at some point, some of those investors are going to try and take profits, take money off the table. We reached a level where enough investors decided that that was the case to trim positions, given how large those allocations have got within their portfolios. And as a result, we see a slight retracement overall.
You mentioned ETFs there. Do you have any stats or any numbers you can give us as to just the kind of interest there has been from retail investors or retail clients coming into ETFs?
Yeah, the interest in gold ETFs has been one of the really strong themes of this year. We've seen all of the, if you like, Donald Trump-related themes, the one has been the most during has been to buy gold. And within ETFs in Australia, we saw $1.3 billion worth of inflows year to date. That's pretty significant for Australia overall. Within gold ETFs, we've got around about $10 billion worth of assets tied up in these gold bullion ETFs. These are ETFs that are backed by physical gold bullions stored in vaults. In the US, much bigger market, just last week, we saw $8 billion of inflows in a single week. This comes after actually 3 years. So this change where we've started to see investors reallocate to gold is really something that's come about in 2025. For the three prior years to that, we've actually seen outflows. So in some senses, investors were really playing catch up and really, coming back to gold, which was an asset class, which for some period of time they had shunned.
Why the similar moves in other precious metals? I think silver also had almost an equally severe tumble as well overnight.
We typically see with precious metals that where gold moves, you know, silver will follow. Silver can be seen as a substitute store of value. Typically, it will move later than gold. So on the rally, it may rally later and harder than gold. And it can indeed, and it did last night, sell off more substantially than gold. So silver acting as an alternative, you know, store of value, a place where people want to, you know, store their wealth to diversify against the risks that are out there in the world today. Also essentially, you know, governed by the same overall dynamic in markets.
So what's the long-term view of gold?
Look, if you look at the world today, the state of the US economy, if we look at the geopolitical risk, we think that the case for holding gold in your portfolio still makes a lot of sense. Issues such as the size of US government debt, some of the decoupling that we've seen between the large global powers, mean that as a store of wealth, gold is seen as, you know, increasingly attractive. When you're looking at building an investment portfolio, you're looking at different asset classes that can hedge some of these risks. And gold for a long time, millennia, has acted as that store of wealth at times when other asset classes haven't really been able to, say, maintain their value over time. So we think that, investors have come back to gold in a big way in 2025. Perhaps they got a little bit ahead of themselves in the last month, that strong rally that we have seen through September and October. But over the long run, those drivers and the uncertainty that is in the world today still remains. And so we think investors will continue to invest over the long term in gold and gold ETFs.
And in just wrapping everything up that we've discussed, what do you say to investors that are looking at that gold price, right? They look at those pictures of those huge queues outside physical gold traders, for example, like the one in Martin Place in Sydney. And there seems to be this sense of FOMO as well, right? I got to get in. What's your message to them when they see this this bit of volatility come through right now?
Yeah, look, there is a lot of uncertainty in the world. And, gold, when you sort of see this sort of hype around it performing very strongly, can often be seen as, maybe an asset that's going to generate you riches. When we're looking at gold as an investment, we're not necessarily thinking about the capacity of gold to generate, 100% returns. It's really about using it as one tool within your overall portfolio. So when we think about the way an investor will invest, they'll hold some shares, they may hold some bonds and cash. Gold is another lever that you can pull. And the great thing about gold is that, yes, it's sold off overnight and that makes people nervous, but we also saw that other elements of people's portfolios, like shares and bonds, were very steady overnight. The value in holding gold in that diversified portfolio is gold's ability to move in a different direction and thereby reduce the risk of your portfolio as a whole. So we think about it on a whole portfolio context, and we think that that is where it certainly adds the most value.
It's Cameron Gleeson there from Beta Shares. So let's take a closer look at the Australian share market today, which fell 0.7% to 9,030. That's on the S&P ASX 200. Six of 11 sectors were lower, the worst by far, materials. And that's unsurprising considering the top three worst performing stocks on the ASX 200 were all gold stocks. Genesis Minerals down 10.3%. We've also got Ramelius off by about 10% too. And if you look at the All Ordinaries Index, what tops the worst performers there are rare earth stocks that did particularly well in the run-up to the Donald Trump and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese meeting in the US just yesterday. Shares are now starting to come off. The likes of Arafura down 13% and Meteoric Resources down by 12% too. For a closer look on the day's market action, I spoke with Scott Phillips from the Motley Fool. Scott, the ASX is down today. Run us through why, but at the same time, what's investment sentiment like generally? Because the market's still near those record levels.
Yeah, Ricardo, g'day. That's the combination, right? Because you're right. Overall, things are looking and feeling pretty good. Now, we're at all-time highs, maybe even a little bit too good. There's some things that maybe are getting a bit expensive. On the other hand, today's falls, look, the material sector is about $1.05, $1.06 on the ASX. It's down 3.4%. The math is pretty straightforward when that happens. When most or one of the largest subsectors of the market is down that much, you're simply going to wear pain right across the ASX. So the other sectors, up, down and flat, materials really dragging us backwards.
Okay, so speaking of materials, that gold price, the biggest fall in 12 years overnight. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Cameron Gleeson from Beta Shares in detail just before you, but I also want to get your opinion. So is it purely the fact that it's run up too hard, too fast, investors, especially retail investors, potentially taking some profits, or is there more to it? What's your take on the asset?
Look, let's be honest, no one knows, right? So we're all trying to infer the herd mentality, the herd decision-making in 6 or 8 hour trading blocks. The reality is gold's up 55-odd percent over this year alone. There is no fundamental basis other than a very slight version of if the world collapses, maybe you want to hold gold, but I'm not sure who buys it if you do. Short of the world collapsing, there is no fundamental justification for a 55% increase in the price of a precious metal, no matter what else is going on. So it's got to be either it was really cheap at the beginning of the year, or it's pretty expensive now, maybe a combination of both. But either way, when you see that sort of movement from something that really should increase double digits, maybe at most in a given year, it's going to be sentiment. It is going to be some FOMO for sure, some sense of people just want to get rich. They're trying to ride in the coattails of other people. The problem with that, of course, is when the music stops, everyone's trying to find a chair. Whether today is the beginning of the end or the end of the beginning or simply just a speed bump higher and higher gold price-wise, well, only time will tell.
Yeah, that FOMO element's quite interesting because we've seen a lot of those gold shares also retreat quite a lot today too. Yesterday, it was all about rare earths. A lot of those stock prices coming down pretty hard today. What's your message to investors looking at these hot asset classes? They're making headlines in the news. You see lineups for gold, for example, to buy physical gold in Martin Place, you know, with rare earths headline, you know, What's your message to these investors thinking, hey, I've got to get in?
Fools rush in where angels fear to tread, Ricardo. Be very, very, very careful. When you see a price chart of any sort, I don't use charts for investing. But when you see a chart effectively go vertical, you know that is not normal. That is not proper average behavior. Doesn't mean you can't take a punt and maybe win. But remember, at that point, it is a punt. It is not a sound investment. So invest slowly, invest carefully. Think about the long term and don't get caught up. Most importantly, don't try and keep up with the Joneses. There's nothing worse than your brother-in-law getting rich if you're not making money. But just take a bit of a break, take a breath, and make sure you're investing the right way for the long term.
Okay, let's talk more general themes, right? And I want to talk about the US if we can. Earnings season continues there. You had carmaker GM lift its forecast and tone down its anticipated tariff hit. Coca-Cola said consumer demand drove better than expected results. And I saw a note from NAB economists today upgrading their global growth forecast for 2026 with fiscal easing by Congress in the US, US rate cuts and growing AI investment supporting the US economy. So it all sounds a little bit rosy or potentially better than what we first thought. What's your take on the US and its ability to drive growth?
Gee, I hope they're right. I mean, realistically, the US was the major risk to the economy this financial year because of the tariffs, because of uncertainty around what central banks would do. So it really was the watcher. I mean, China has been a little bit risky on the edge, but the US economy was always going to drive the result. I have to say, the things you've just mentioned, the best news is the Coke news because it's kind of fundamental consumption, right? Yes, people buy cars, they don't buy cars. Maybe they switch brands, maybe they buy imports or local. GM, frankly, doing better because of the tariffs from other car makers, right? It's not so much GM's tariffs they're paying, but the fact that GM is being supported in the US because there's tariffs on imported cars, particularly EVs. So no surprise there. But ordinary consumption of a consumer good like Coke going up, that is a good sign for the US economy. I am a little bit hopeful, but also a little bit fearful, mate. I'd rather be an optimist in a room full of pessimists than an optimist in a room full of uber optimists, right? Because if everyone's assuming everything's rosy, that kind of is where I get a little bit uncomfortable. The spidey senses start to tingle. If the US does cut rates too hard, they've already talked about the risk of inflation. We've seen inflation here likely above the RBA's target range again. So I want to be a little bit careful what we wish for. I want rosy times. I want great economic growth. I want wages growth. I want productivity to come back. I want all those things. What I don't want is for an artificial increase in economic activity because of rates or because of some sort of expected or unexpected tariff hit. So I'll take the good news. We're just going to be a little bit careful that it's not a sugar hit rather than genuine improvement.
Okay. And in wrapping up, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Be careful. We started by talking about the fact that markets are at or near all-time highs. We've probably been selling more than we've been buying recently just because some of the valuations are getting a little bit crazy. There's still opportunity out there, but be very careful. We talked about FOMO a couple of times. Don't get caught up with that. Easy to think that share price is going up, therefore I'm a genius, therefore I want to get in on the party. Be really rational, really thoughtful. Look for value. Don't get caught up in the party because, as I said, when the music stops, if you don't have a chair, you'll be nursing some serious losses.
That's Scott Phillips there from The Motley Fool, and he wraps up the podcast for this Wednesday. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.